Morning. Our second reading is going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4 on page 1193, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 11, I think. Yes, we are. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Well, let's pray as we come to this passage. Father God, we need to hear from you. Our world is screaming so many things at us, some of them which are true, some are lots of them which aren't. But we need to hear your voice clearly, because it is always true. So help us to hear this morning with heart, body, mind and soul, all that we are, so we are changed by you. Amen.
Amen.
And just to say as well, we do have question time today, so after the sermon, so as I'm preaching, if things come to mind, why has Mike said that, or he hasn't mentioned this, or whatever. Keep them in mind, because we will have a chance for questions afterwards. So we're continuing our journey through 1 Timothy, a journey that started a few weeks ago in chapter 1, surprise, surprise. And in chapter 1 we saw just how serious the problem of false teachers are in the midst of a church. And then in chapters 2 and 3, Paul's been addressing this problem by telling Timothy and the church there to have a renewed focus on the gospel and a renewed focus on godliness, godly living. And in some ways, this week is actually more of the same. You might have noticed that as I read that short passage. But here, Paul is speaking directly to Timothy, and through Timothy to church leaders. And it's summed up, I think, in verse 16. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. These things matter. But this is where we need to be careful, because is Paul just repeating himself from previous weeks? And he might be. And if he is, it's because we probably need to hear it more than once. But actually, I think he's doing something else. He's coming at it from a slightly different angle. An angle that we all need to be aware of. So let's not fall into the trap of thinking, oh, we've heard similar stuff for the last couple of weeks. I can have a snooze for the next 20 minutes, or a mental snooze. Anyway, if your eyes are closed, I won't think you're praying. But let's say no. We need to hear what Paul, and more importantly, what God has to say. And if those conversations I've been having over the last few weeks are anything to go by, we definitely need to hear these verses. A number of you have told me of previous churches you've been in, where you've had ministers. Some of them have had a drink problem. Others, it's an open secret that they've been having sexual relationships outside of marriage. Others, they've just never really spoken of the biblical gospel. Or I need to be saved. And verse 2 from chapter 4, which we looked at last week, but let's just cast your minds back to verse 2. It is shocking, because it's speaking about these false teachers. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose consciousnesses have been seared as with hot iron. To some extent, these unfaithful leaders don't even realize they've been unfaithful. Their consciousnesses are seared. They're not working properly. And so for some of us, perhaps even for many of us, we have been in churches, perhaps previously, where there's been serious problems in the leadership. And at the time, we might have been uncomfortable with all that type of stuff. But the temptation is always to play those problems down. To think, they're not that big a deal. But instead, actually, we've been seeing some of them are a huge deal. And therefore, even though these instructions today are to Timothy, what does Timothy tell, what does Paul tell Timothy to do? Verse 11. Command and teach these things. These things need to be heard and understood, not just by the church leadership, but the whole church family. And so to our first point this morning, watch the lives of your Christian leaders. Watch the lives of your Christian leaders. And verse 12, chapter 4 and verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now back in Paul and Timothy's day, the culture had a very high regard for older people. Sadly, how that's been reversed in our culture today, but that's a whole different thing, isn't it? But here, Timothy, he was probably in his 30s. He'd been given a difficult job to do by the Apostle Paul. And you can imagine some of the older folk, and even, to be honest, some of the younger folk saying, what's this pipsqueak? How can he tell us these things on whose authority? But you notice what Paul doesn't say to Timothy. He doesn't say to Timothy, pull rank. You've got the authority of an apostle behind you. You must listen to me. Instead, he's told, set an example of godliness. Instead of having people look down on you, live in such a way that they have to look up to you, because you're living such a godly life. And the first area that Paul hits upon in this area of godliness is the tongue. How many ministers have landed themselves in hot water because of a loose tongue? Sadly, a fair few. So Paul tells Timothy, watch your tongue. But then he also says, watch your conduct. And conduct is such a broad term, isn't it? But it is a particular focus here on what other people can see, can observe. So every time Timothy interacted with somebody inside the church family, or even outside the church family, his actions would be doing one of two things. They'd be either commending the gospel or doing the very opposite. And this conduct, well, it should be marked, end of verse 12, by Jesus-shaped love, Jesus-filled faith, and Jesus-defined purity. You may have noticed, it doesn't actually say the word Jesus in the text, does it? I added that, but for good reason. Because our society today, it has its own version of love, faith, and what was the last one, sorry? Love, faith, and purity. But it isn't faith in Jesus, is it? It's faith in themselves. You can do it. The very opposite of trusting in God for all our needs. Well, Timothy is to demonstrate these qualifications to lead in God's church, being shaped by Jesus. And every parent and child knows how this works. I mean, what parent hasn't told their children, you must brush your teeth when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed, and if you're particularly conscious, after your lunch as well? Every day, that's a rule in lots of families, isn't it? Until that day when the child catches the breath of their father mid-morning and it's a bit pongy. Daddy, did you brush your teeth this morning? No, I forgot. Well, I can guarantee you, from that moment onward, that child is going to have that temptation of skipping their morning teeth brushing. They know Daddy can do it. Why cannot they? Toothbrushing conduct matters. How much more so in Jesus' church? And Paul pushes this all the way home in verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Be diligent. Be a Christian leader, if you are a leader in a church, that takes your godliness in your life seriously. You see, it's very common for a Christian to make progress in their godliness. And this can be genuine things. The Holy Spirit is at work in their life, and perhaps some sin that they used to feel quite comfortable with. Now, actually, God has changed them. And now, when they see that sin, they go, ugh! They don't like it. They're not even tempted any longer. Or it might be the case, actually, you're part of a church and there's people, some people in the church who are very different to you. And actually, miracle of miracles, you find yourself loving these people who are amazingly different to you. Evidence that God's Spirit is at work. Or perhaps it's being generous to church, to people in church and in others in need, when actually before you were generous, but it was such hard work, but now it's actually a joy. I mean, it's so many different things, isn't there? Where we can see progress in godliness. But the thing is, when we see progress in one area of life, there is such temptation to think, oh, God's helped me really, I've really grown in that area. And then all of a sudden we start taking the foot off the gas. Conduct-wise, we fall into temptation or we think, job done. Now, this can happen to any Christian. It can happen to Christian leaders. So for all of us, but particularly for Christian leaders, watch your life. See, ministry is first and foremost dominated by character. Not a perfect character, only Jesus has that. But a character that takes Jesus' conduct seriously. Do we mind just shutting that door? Is that all right? Thanks, guys. So watch your life. Let's not forget verse 11 again. Command and teach these things. This is for the whole church to know, for the whole church family to know what it looks like. Watch the lives of your Christian leaders. And we can sit here and say, yes, that's obvious. Yes, we'll do that. But it wasn't obvious to me when I was a young man. I moved to London and I was looking for a local church when I lived in Rotherhithe of all places. And I was looking around and I ended up actually in my local parish church, Church of England Church. And I could tell pretty early on that the minister wasn't great. But in my ignorant arrogance, I thought I could make a difference for Jesus there. It took me 2 years to realise actually I should have left that church after a month or so. That the minister was no good, and I should have left. Now, if I'd been more familiar with 1 Timothy, I might have done so. We need to be told this stuff. Because even when we suspect a minister is perhaps dodgy, we look for the best in somebody. And there's something good about that, isn't there? But we, at the same time, we can push away our suspicions. And this isn't just personal for us, but it can apply to a group of churches working together as well. And that's true of Amy and our bishops. They have to watch this big time as well. And so actually, I've said to a few people, there's a large church in South London, a Church of England church, which is about 1,000 people going on a Sunday over a few different services. And they've said actually publicly that if the Church of England don't change their mind about what they're planning to bless same-sex relationships and things like that, they said they will leave. And they said, we'll leave next January. We're giving you time to change your mind. And if you don't, we're going to leave. And our plan is to join Amy. And actually, to have a church that size join Amy would be quite a big deal for us. We're 26 churches at the moment. Across the 26 churches, we'd probably add up to about 1,000 people on a Sunday morning just by ourselves. But here's the temptation. As our bishops talk to that leadership team at that church, will they be checking their conduct of those church leaders? Now, I don't think they'll find anything suspicious, but if they did, would they put the brakes on that church joining Amy? Or would they let it slide because it would be such a great thing to have such a massive, a big church as part of Amy? Now, let me reiterate, I don't think they will find problems from what I know. But if there were, the temptation to ignore them would be great. God says, watch the lives of your Christian leaders. Secondly, watch the teaching of your Christian leaders. And verse 13, chapter 4 and verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, when Paul was writing this, people didn't have the Bible which they could carry around in the pocket. They didn't have a Bible at home. The Bible was made up of scrolls. Now, I mean, lots of scrolls for the Old Testament, and either one or two scrolls or more scrolls for different letters and the Gospels in the New Testament. And therefore, the public reading of Scripture when the church gathered was so important, because that's really the only time when people heard God's words. But they weren't to stop at reading, were they? Paul said to Timothy, preach and teach. And that's what we're doing now, isn't it? Preaching, helping, praying, with the Holy Spirit's help, Father. Help us to get into what you're saying here. Help us to understand. Help us to see what it means for our lives as our church and even for our world. And the reasons why we don't have sermons which are only 5 or 10 minutes long, which, let's be honest, you could go to plenty of churches where you'd find sermons that long, is because it's clear that preaching is important. Now, some weeks, let's be honest, my sermons are sometimes better than other weeks. that's just the reality of life. Sometimes we have a guest preacher, which is occasionally, which is great. A different voice and style can help, or less preaching. But whatever is happening, God says preaching is important. And he says to Timothy, verse 13, devote yourself. Verse 14, do not neglect your gift. See, for Timothy, there are lots of tasks that he could do. And some of them could be great tasks, couldn't they? Visiting the sick, helping somebody out, updating the website. You know what, the list, I don't think Timothy probably had a website to update, but you know what I mean. The list is endless. But the job at the top of that list for Timothy each week was to pray and prepare next Sunday's sermon. And a sermon that is clearly getting to grips with parts of God's word. Now again, you can go to churches where they say that the Bible is important, but the sermon is so encrusted with stories and jokes that the Bible passage is effectively drowned out. Now, it's not wrong to have the odd joke or something. You don't get many from me because I'm not very funny. But it's not wrong to have the odd one, but sometimes you get so many. Other times, the preaching is aimed at being therapeutic or political, or the passage is interpreted through a social lens. And again, the message of the passage is hidden. There are so many ways to mess this up. And therefore, as a church, do we want to be a church where the Bible is used just to back up what we already believe and what we're comfortable with? Or do we want God to speak loud and clear? To encourage us in the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also, where needed, to challenge and correct. I'm about to say something that I've said many times before, but I don't apologize for it because it's so important, and it's this. If something is ever said or preached from the front of this church, which you just go, I just can't see where it's coming from, please, please do ask. It is so important. Just this week, I was with a few of the AME ministers, and a guy who's just started leading the church, really, and preaching every week, he said, preparing and preaching a sermon every week, it's just so hard, it's so tiring. Please tell me it gets easier. And all those wiser older heads, nope, it doesn't. And it's why Paul says, devote yourself, be diligent. It is hard work. And I confess, a few months before I burnt out, a year and a half ago, I was failing massively in this area. My sermon preparation had basically turned into listening to someone else's sermon on the passage I was supposed to preach on, taking some notes and turning their sermon into a Mike Walton version of it. It's awful. It was wrong. I felt huge guilt at the time. But at the time, it was also the only thing I could manage. And with hindsight, I should have gone off sick earlier. And that was no one's fault here. That was just down to me. Back to 1 Timothy and verse 14. A reminder to Timothy that God's given him a job to do, preaching and teaching. Get on with it. But let's not forget verse 11. Command and teach these things. Friends, it's not just myself or fellow elders or guest preachers who need to hear this stuff. We all do. You need to be watching the lives of your Christian leaders. You need to be watching the teaching of your Christian leaders. Why? Well, our final and third point, salvation really matters. And verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Salvation is at stake. Now, when the Bible talks about salvation, it is salvation from the consequences of sin. Salvation for God's righteous judgment on our sin. Bottom line, salvation from hell. And instead, it's salvation to God's family, into the reality of eternal life, and so much more. And as Paul teaches elsewhere, and it is clear all over Scripture, we gain that salvation through a personal faith in Jesus. It is always there. But did you notice here in verse 16, salvation also needs the faithful preaching of God's word and a godly example from church leaders. Part of the way that God keeps us clinging to Jesus is through watching the life and preaching of church leaders. It's why false teaching church leaders are so dangerous. Salvation is at stake. It's why coming to church where these things are true week on week will be a growing priority for any Christian. I've met so many people throughout the years who say, who call themselves Christians, but they stopped going to church months or even years ago. But they still own the label Christian. But in reality, Jesus means very, very little to them. And again, let's not forget verse 11. Command and teach these things. You all need to know this. Remember, at the beginning, we said, quite a lot of what we've seen today is similar to what we've seen already. What's the angle which is slightly different from previous weeks? Well, I think it's that verse 11, isn't it? Command and teach these things. Everyone needs to know this. Everyone in the church. We need to be helping our church leadership, keeping on the narrow path by your prayers, by your encouragement, sometimes even by your correction or your challenge. And all this is why Amy, and not just Amy, but other denominations where they've clearly got hold of the Bible, need to plant new churches. So, some old friends of mine, they drive an hour each way to get to church on a Sunday. To a church where they're trying to live out 1 Timothy and the whole of the Bible. Now let me put it another way. Let's pretend Cornerstone didn't exist. And some of the other churches in Thurrock or further afield, which you might go to, didn't exist. And the closest 1 Timothy-type church was an hour away. Would you be willing to travel that far? Because verse 11, command and teach these things, then ought an optional extra. And verses 15 and 16 to close. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his salvation, his love for us, his forgiveness. His guarantee of eternal life. Thank you that we get all that through trust in him and so much more. But Father, you also know that as much as that is wonderful and personal between us and Jesus, you know how much we need each other to keep us going, to keep us holding on to Jesus. We pray, Father, that you protect us here, protect our church leaders, protect our whole church family. From ever thinking, being truthful to your word, or living as much as we closely as we can to closer to your word, being trying to live godly lives. Help us to never think of those as small things, but important things that which you use to keep us clinging on to Jesus. We can't do it by ourselves, Father. We need your grace and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.